16, and we'll just read verse 18 there, and then we'll turn to 1 Timothy 3. Let's go ahead and go to Matthew 16, read verse 18. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And 1 Timothy chapter 3, which is where we will be for a good portion of the morning. 1 Timothy chapter 3. Verse 15. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. But if I tarry long, let's read the beginning of verse 14. Verse 14. Apostle Paul is writing here and speaking here through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God. Verse 14. These things write I unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. Let's go ahead. Let's pray. Father, thank you for church. Thank you for people who have taken time out to come, Lord, and be in this place today and hear the Word of God. Pray you bless the time. Be with our understanding. Be with our hearts, our minds now. Pray that we could, Lord, give our attention now to the Word of God. Lord, put the things of life aside for a while and be interested in what's being said and be willing to hear it, be willing to make application where need be, and just ask that you be magnified and glorified. And Lord, as it's already been mentioned, but if there is one that's not saved here today, may you grant them understanding of their need for salvation. Pray that the time here is already ministered to their soul, that as we continue, your word would do a work in each and every one of our hearts. We pray and ask your blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Last week, we began looking at some things regarding the importance of the church. And I want to continue to look at that this morning as well. And it looks like we're going to carry on into next week as well. We mentioned when regarding the church, when looking in the Word of God and the Bible, we find with respect to the church, it's mentioned in two ways. It's mentioned in a spiritual way, and it's mentioned in a physical way. One having to do with your eternal destiny, and one having to do with your walk down here on earth. One being with regards to an eternal body, or an eternal assembly of people, and the other with regards to a local body, or a local assembly of people. Church, by definition, is simply a called out assembly, and we know that called out assembly is different than other called out assemblies. It's an assembly whose gathering has always been spiritual and religious in origin and nature, completely distinct in its gathering than any other gathering outside of these doors. Distinctly different, again, as it's with reference to being spiritual and religious in its origin and nature. We took time, first of all, to look at the spiritual church last week. And when we say spiritual church, we're simply referring to a assembly of people who by faith have trusted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. When we say a spiritual church this morning, we're talking about a people who have been born again, who have been birthed into the family of God. You are here this morning, and the world has as many people as it has this morning based upon a physical birth. If you want to go to heaven when this life is over with, you must have a new birth. You must have a spiritual birth. A birth that is a transaction that takes a place by God and God alone. It is as with the first birth you had nothing to do with, so too with the spiritual birth you have nothing to do with either. It all has to do with the Lord Jesus Christ and what He did for you at the cross of Calvary. And you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone for the salvation of your soul, and He will make you part of the family of God. And that is a spiritual church. That is an assembly of people who, if you will, are gathered together in a place, an eternal place called heaven. We know in Ephesians chapter 2 that the Bible says that we're seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. When you trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you have now been placed into the family of God. And if you will, you have a seat in that eternal kingdom. Only through the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me remind you of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We won't look at each verse again, but just by way of remembrance. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Beginning at verse 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. And I remind you again that simply saying that you've been by one Spirit, what are we talking about? A spiritual birth. By one Spirit have you been placed into that body. You've been placed into that assembly. How? By the Spirit of God. It is a work that God does when you simply recognize the fact that you are a sinner in need of a Savior, and whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. By the work of God, by the Spirit of God, He places you, just as water baptism puts you in a body of water, spiritual baptism puts you in a body, which is the Lord's body, and makes you part of the family of God. Verse 13, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. Verse 27 of the same chapter, now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. So how do you become part of the body of Christ? It's not by joining a church. It's not by being baptized in water. It's not by doing good works. It's not by keeping the Ten Commandments. It's not by giving to charity. It's not by any merits of your own. How do you get into that body? How do you get into that assembly? How do you get into that spiritual kingdom? By the Lord Jesus Christ. Now you are the body of Christ. You're His. So real quickly this morning, before we move on to the local church this morning, if you're not part of that spiritual church, then it doesn't matter what church you are part of. Oh, I need to be part of a church. I need to go to church. It's good to go to church, but not if you don't know anything about the spiritual church. Not if you're not part of the spiritual church. And the only way for the spiritual church to work properly is for you to be part. The only way for the local church to work properly is for you to be part of the spiritual church first. So real quickly, I ask you to consider, you're sitting here this morning, are you part of the spiritual church? The spiritual church is not denominational. So I'm a Baptist. Oh, I'm a Catholic. Oh, I'm a Mormon. Oh, I'm a Jehovah's Witness. Oh, I'm a Presbyterian. It has nothing to do with denomination. God is not interested in your denomination today. He's interested in what you do with His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Are you part of that spiritual church? God don't know what you accept Christ, He makes you part of the family of God. That's spiritual. That's another assembly outside of this assembly that takes place one day in eternity. The Bible says in Colossians 1:18, and He is the head of the body, the church. Then we began looking at the local church last week. The local church, may I say real quickly, as we've already really alluded to, is that church, the local church, which is where we are today. This is a local church. This is a physical church. This is a body. This is an assembly of people here today. This place, if I could say in transition from what we just talked about, cannot save you. No church can save you. No amount of time in church can save you with respect to eternity. Now, the local church can save you a lot of trouble. And it's very important, and we want to emphasize that this morning and take time to emphasize that. It's very, very, very important, but it cannot save your soul from the judgment of God and the eternity in hell. It cannot provide salvation for you. Only in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ can salvation be provided. So we began looking at that local church, at the physical entity, an assembly of people such as we have here today. Acts 16:5, and so were the churches established in the faith and increased in number daily. And so were the churches established in the faith. 1 Corinthians 16:19, the churches of Asia salute you. Aquila and Priscilla salute you much in the Lord with the church that is in their house. In their house. It's a place that people meet and assemble. The assembly of a local church, it also is supposed to be made up of born-again believers. It was not something that was established for unbelievers or to cater to unbelievers, but for believers. And sadly, many of our churches today have succumbed to it, and because of that, they're not following biblical instruction. When the church, the local church, begins to cater to unbelievers, the local church begins to compromise the Word of God. And in time, we'll talk about these things more. But the local church was established for born-again believers. The local church, if I could give you a couple thoughts regarding the definition of a local church, I would say, first of all, it's a place that's been established by God. It's a place where His children come apart from the world to worship and glorify God. And if you're to truly worship and glorify God, you're going to have to separate yourself from the world and get amongst fellow believers. It's a place where God's people would distinctly hear the truth founded in the Word of God. And it's a place where God's people would be established upon their most holy faith. Sadly, this institution this morning that was set up by God no longer seems to hold the importance or placement in the lives of many people that it once used to. So I want to continue this morning to take time to re-emphasize some things that many of you are already familiar with, but just to re-emphasize these things, the importance, how vitally important a local church still is today and should always be every day of our life. David said in Psalm 27:4, "One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple." As far as David was concerned, I just don't want it to be important now, but for the rest of my life, I want it to be important. And I want to emphasize to you today as an assembly of believers that the local church is an important place still today and should always be a very, 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 very important place in your heart and in your life. Again, reiterating what David said, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. He would just love that that would be a very important part of my life, all my days. I believe the devil this morning, knowing how important the church, has done his best. He's done everything he can to tear down the local church and the influence that it once used to have. Now, in looking at the importance of the local church this morning, I'd like to break it down in three ways. First of all, I want to look at specifically this morning the importance of the place itself. Just the place itself. So I want to focus on that this morning. The next time I want to look at the importance of the preacher with respect to the local church. Then I want to look at the importance of the people with respect to the local church as well. There are some things that we'll bring out today that we'll cover lightly that will be brought up more next week, and we'll go into it a little bit more. But mainly with respect to that place. So 1 Timothy, go back to 1 Timothy chapter 3, please. 1 Timothy chapter 3, we want to focus on the place, that place this morning, that local place. That physical place that you come to, that you attend, that you gather. I want to look at the place itself. And as we mentioned last week, we start off by reminding you again that there is no perfect place. There is no perfect local assembly that you can find, that you can attend. There's only one perfect thing about that assembly, and that is the person that we've come to learn about and the person to whom we've come to worship. That is the only perfect thing within that place. Now it should be, if you will, a place where people who are going on to perfection have gathered together. It should be that kind of a place. It should not be a place where people are seeking to make excuse for their imperfections. Oh, it's just the way I am. No, that's not the place that it should be. It's a place that should be a place of people gathered together who are seeking to go on to perfection. But it is something that we will never attain to until we go on to glory. So every day of our lives, we will be going in that direction. But never, never, ever arrive to be a perfect place full of imperfect people. 1 Timothy chapter 3, we read there in verse 14 and verse 15 that it's a pillar and ground of truth. And I know we've talked a little bit about this last week. I want to reemphasize some things about verse 14, about this verse 15. Notice verse 15 again. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the pillar and ground of truth. We see pillar and ground. Two words here expressing the same thing. Foundation, support, that which sustains, that which upholds. The church, when we think of what's said right here, in verse 15, a biblical, local, New Testament church, that place is supposed to be a foundation of truth. That place is supposed to be a place that supports truth, sustains truth, upholds truth. That place right there at the center of that local church is supposed to be truth. That is supposed to be the pillar and ground of that place. That's the foundation of that place. That's what's to uphold that place is truth. Truth. And therefore, when we consider that, we know that the Bible says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. So we know at the center of that place, at the local assembly, at that the house of God, which is called the church of the living God, is supposed to be what? The word of God. The Word of God is supposed to be at the center of that place. When our land ceases to have biblical churches, it is a land that ceases to uphold the truth. When we cease to have biblical, strong, Bible-believing churches, we become a community that does not uphold the truth as it once used to. That's the truth. If you would this morning, as a hospital, as a place that you can turn to and expect to find help for all your physical ailments and all the physical troubles that you may have, and you would go to that place and whatever physical problem you have, you would expect somewhere there'd be a clinic within that place to help your physical problems. So too is the church to be a place that would help your spiritual well-being. Every area of your life can be helped in the local church through the Word of God. The Word of God can help every single area of your spiritual well-being. It's definitely intended to be a place that is the foundation of your life as a believer. It's a place of life support for you. If you will. As a believer, you're not going to be able to function properly without it. The Bible says the entrance of thy words giveth light, it giveth understanding unto the simple. Jesus Christ said in Matthew, I believe, chapter 5, that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. It's a life support for the believer. You cannot properly function without it. You cannot live as you ought to without a Bible-believing church. You cannot. We've gotten to a place where we have substituted the church for many other things, but it has been to our demise and not to our good. No doubt when this country had strong Bible-believing churches, I believe if you look back, you would find that it was a stronger nation. I believe we had stronger communities. I believe where the Bible holds sway, that regions are affected by the Word of God. We know, and I've said it before, but we know there's a term such as the Bible Belt. Well, those lines have been blurred probably lately, but there was a definitive line. It was called, hey, that's the Bible Belt. And you know what that Bible Belt did? That Bible Belt affected that region, those places there. There was a distinct difference between, if you will, the deportment, the disposition, the things going on up north, and the things that were going on down south. And anybody traveling from north to south could see and evidence and see the influence of the Bible in an area that was distinctly different than where the Bible was not, mainly in the north. And mainly in the north for many, many years, maybe in the founding of our country, the Bible was strong up there. But for many years, the Bible was not strong up north. And again, when you speak of that Bible Belt, it goes down south. And because it's not, you find a whole different attitude and a whole different way of living in many ways up there. Now, things are transitioning, I understand. And you don't even know where that line is anymore because we've forsaken the local church and the Word of God. I would say truly homes are better off. Truly homes were better off. Children were much more respectful. Violence and crimes were much less. Jails and juvenile centers were much less. Abortion and illegitimate births were much less. Government programs were much less when the local church and the truth of the Bible, a Bible-believing church, was in those places. And even to this very moment here in Virginia Beach, in the Tidewater area here, all these things are affecting our community this very moment. The truth is, if we got back to valuing the church as we once used to, it would affect every area of our community once again. But whereas we're not valuing it, we're not upholding it, it's not the importance that it once used to be in the lives of God's people. I think as a whole today, the church has misplaced their priorities and have not done a good job representing the church, as we find here in 1 Timothy 3:14-15. Notice with me Revelation chapter 3, but keep a place there, please. Revelation chapter 3. Just, I say a brief introduction, I guess a long introduction to some specifics we want to get to in a minute. Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3. We're going to, the church as a whole today has done a bad job of representing the church. Verse 14, and unto the angel of the church of Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. And it goes on, the Lord's speaking about a specific church here. We understand that there are many things that are in this Laodicean church that are reflected in our churches today. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou were cold or hot. So then because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest I am rich and increased with goods. This is the voice of the church. The church is saying I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. And knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. The testimony that they thought they have is completely different than what the testimony of the Lord gave to them. The Lord said that with regards to this church that they thought they were doing pretty good. But he said, no, you're wretched, you're miserable, you're poor, you're blind, you're naked. With respect to his work, with respect to his truths, they were completely far away from that. He said in verse 18, I counsel thee to buy of one gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment that thou mayest be clothed, and that thy shame with thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. And no discernment whatsoever. Verse 19, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Verse 20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and be, and he with me. What is that telling us? That's telling us that there is a church there in Laodicea that has been established. They think they're doing pretty good. The Lord says you're not doing pretty good. As a matter of fact, the Lord tells them clearly that he's outside of the church. So they think everything is wonderful and everything is going great. He says he stands at the door and knocks, seeking to get in and be part of that church. Back to 1 Timothy chapter 3. We find there in verse 15 that it's supposed to be a pillar and ground of the truth. Pillar and ground of the truth. I want to say this morning, the appetite of our church today has changed. The appetite of our churches today have changed. Again, the priority of the church is supposed to be truth, which comes from God's Word. In Matthew chapter 5, Jesus Christ said, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. Blessed are they who do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." When you consider the priority of the church, then something that should be a priority of each and every believer when choosing a church is the truth. Is the truth. We find there again in verse 15, the church, the house of God, which is the church of the living God, is a pillar and ground truth. So that church, the priority of that church is supposed to be the truth, then the priority of each and every believer when choosing a church is that the truth would be at the center of that church. Now, there are other things regarding a local assembly that may have some appeal to it or may be of help to it, but those would all be secondary things. Those would all be things that would be not even really considered. They would just be things that would be additional to that church. They may be considered because they may have some impact to that church, good or bad, so you need to consider that. But first and foremost, in choosing a church, you need to choose a church where the center of that church is the truth. Is the truth. And the local church today no longer seems to have the appetite that it once used to have. Personally today, my brethren, if you look for a church, the only thing you should consider first in that church is nothing else but the truth. Nothing else. I'm telling you, if I was to go look for another church, the first thing I would do is just sit there and want to hear that the truth of God's Word is preached in that place. I am not worried about all the other things that are part of that church. I want to know if what's coming across here is the truth. Is the truth. Now, there are some men that we can listen to and we distinctly know that the truth is at the center of that place. And we can say that is a place that we can certainly consider being part of. But our appetite has changed. And in many respects, when people go to church today, that is not at the center of their priorities. It should be first and foremost the priority of each and every believer. "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Again, I emphasize this morning, the truth is a priority, and to be a priority in that local church. And that is what you need to make your decision on. And there are some other things that factor in that you do need to consider. But first and foremost, the truth. Okay, I got the truth. Now, what about these other things? Then you would consider. I want to bring up a few things this morning, that some things that are hurting this place today. Not necessarily Bible Believers Baptist Church today, but things that are hurting this local church today. That is hurting the place, the local church today. First of all, an emphasis on numbers. An emphasis on numbers is hurting the local church today. How large a congregation is, or how large a choir is. To many people, are appealed by that. In many respects, preachers are compromising because of that, but that is hurting the local church today. Numbers is good, but never meant to be the focus. Whether it be 15 150, 1500, the truth of God's word is supposed to be at the center of that place. You have plenty of people that'll go to a ball game, plenty of people that'll go to a concert, plenty of people that'll gather together for other things. Numbers is not supposed to be the emphasis for the church. To have numbers is not necessarily God's stamp of approval on anything. And the church is being hurt by an emphasis of numbers. May I submit to you this morning, they say the people are unchurched today. You ever hear that? We have an unchurched community. I submit to you today that we don't need a church-going people. We have plenty of them. We need a Bible-believing people. When you say, why are you bringing it? Because we don't need a church that's packed with people. We need a church where people can go to get the truth and the help they need to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. We need a place where people can hear the Word of God preached. Something that's hurting the church today is the emphasis on the numbers. Something else that's hurting today is an emphasis on trying to please the people rather than pleasing God. Again, as we've mentioned, catering more to what the people want and staying away from what they truly need. This may make them feel better, but it's not necessarily going to help them. We're emphasizing pleasing the people so that it'll bring them back. But again, we're compromising the truth of God's Word to do those things. Paul said in Galatians 1, chapter 1, verse 10. Go ahead and turn there. Galatians chapter 1. In verse 10, the emphasis of the local church, I submit to you, is not to be a place where we try to please the people. We're not trying to displease the people. We're not trying to be rude to the people. We're not trying to be ignorant to the people. But we're not trying to please the people at the expense of displeasing God and compromising the Word of God. All right? Paul said in Galatians 1, verse 10, for do I now persuade men or God? Is my focus on persuading these men, or is my focus on doing right by God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. The emphasis should not be on trying to please the people, trying to get the people back. The emphasis is not trying to get the people out. The emphasis is not trying to drive them away. But the emphasis cannot be on trying to make them feel good to keep them. The emphasis is not trying to do this or do this or do this so that we get them back. The emphasis, again, is what? The truth. The truth of God's Word. Something else that has hurt the church today, the local church, is preachers. Preachers. And we're going to talk more about that next week, but just let me give you a few. Go to Jeremiah. Just a few verses here. Jeremiah. We'll talk much more extensively about this. Jeremiah 23. Jeremiah 23. Sorry for not giving you the chapter. Jeremiah 23. Much more extensively next week and get into the specifics of this. But something that's hurt the local church today is preachers compromising the truth. Not standing for it like they once used to. That is hurting our local churches today. Jeremiah 23, verse 21. I have not sent these prophets, this is the word of the Lord from the prophet Jeremiah, I have not sent these prophets, yet they ran. I have not spoken to them, yet they prophesied. Verse 22, but if they had stood in my counsel and caused my people to hear my words, then they should have turned from their evil way and from the evil of their doings. If they would have stood in the counsel, if they would have stood in the word of God, then it would help the people to turn away from their evil doings. And something that's hurting a local church today is the preachers. The preachers, look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2. It would have caused them to turn from their evil doings and their evil ways. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, Apostle Paul said in verse 4, "And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." Power of God. It's not about enticing words this morning. It's about the man, the preacher, giving and declaring the truth of God's Word, which we'll talk more about next week. Something else that is hurting the local church today, believe it or not, is programs. Programs. Not all programs are evil, but when programs take away from what the local church was intended for, then those programs are no longer any good. Those programs are no longer needed. And in many of our churches, we have substituted the truth of God's Word. We have substituted the focus, the priority of the church to give the Word of God with programs. Again, not all programs are evil, but we believe that all these programs are what's going to fix the problem. And again, we've substituted the emphasis being the Word of God. Programs, many programs, in some respect, have hurt the local church today. Say, preacher, I think that those programs have been a great help to the local church. But we'll talk again more about it later. But again, many people's reasons for choosing a church is based upon programs and not the program, the Word of God. And I'm submit to you today that 100 years ago, it was not the programs that was the priority in the church. It was not the programs that was the choosing of a church. It was the Word of God and the authority of the Word of God being preached and declared and given to my family. The programs are substituting and substituting a lot of ways what the priority of the church should be. Something else that has affected our local church today is an emphasis on the building. An emphasis on the building, the outward beauty of the building, the inward beauty of the building. Something that's affected the local church today is the emphasis on the building, good and bad. Good and bad. First of all, you have too much attention that's given to the outward beauty and the inward beauty of the place. And people choose and make decisions based upon that. And in many respects, their focus is on that place instead of the person of that place. Look with me at Mark. Look with me a couple of verses here. Mark. Mark chapter 13. Look at verse 1 with me, please. Mark chapter 13, verse 1. "And as he went out of the temple, one of his disciples saith unto him, Master, see what manner of stones and what buildings are here?" Verse 1, "See what manner of stones and buildings are here?" Notice verse 2, "And Jesus answering said unto him, Seest thou these great buildings? There shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down." What an answer, huh? What an answer to give. It's obviously that individual thought, man, isn't this beautiful? Isn't this wonderful? And I think he was emphasizing, your focus, your priority is in the wrong place. Look with me at Luke chapter 21, please. Luke chapter 21. Luke chapter 21, please. Beginning at verse 5. Luke 21, beginning at verse 5. "And as some spake of the temple, how it was adorned with goodly stones and gifts, he said, As for these things which ye behold, the days will come in the which there shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down." These things which you behold, these things which you continue to look at and make a big deal of, it's not what's supposed to be a big deal. It's not what's supposed to be the priority. And in many respects, in some things, it's hurt the local body of the people today, because the focus is on the building itself, on how the building looks on the outside and how the building looks on the inside. That's the focus of many people today. Is there anything wrong with a nice building? Nothing wrong with a nice building. We'll talk about that here in a minute. Nothing wrong with everything being nice on the inside. But don't make it more than you should. Don't make it more than you should. It should not be your focal point. Brother Doss, he was just invited recently. Maybe you're familiar with Preacher Doss from South Carolina. He was invited to preach. I think it was up in Ohio, lower part of Ohio, maybe a month or two ago, a month and a half, 6 weeks ago. And you know how Brother Doss is when he preaches. He goes all over the place. And he moves all over the place. And he comes up to the communion table. And Brother Doss, you know how he is. He'll sit on that table. And he'll move all around that table. And sometimes he'll put his leg up on that table. And he just preaches, right? Well, after the service one day, one of the deacons came up to him and was all upset. All upset that Brother Doss sat on that communion table. So the deacon went to the preacher. I'm sorry, I said maybe the deacon went to the preacher and was offended. I hope you're not offended by I do this morning. But you shouldn't be. You shouldn't be. Nobody's making an offense right here by sitting on this thing. So they went to the preacher. The preacher had to go to Brother Dawson and said, hey, we had one of the deacons who was offended. Are you sitting on the communion table? And Brother Dawson, you know how gracious he is. He said, brother, I am not trying to offend anybody by sitting on that communion table, and I will do my best not to do that again. But I cannot promise you I won't do that again. He said, I will do my best not to. But is that not wrong priority? Is there not something wrong? You say, preacher, you're just talking. No, that's how people think. All worried about these little things is not to be worried about. But, may I say something else with respect to the building? First of all, too much attention is given to it. But then let me go this way, not enough attention is given to it. So whereas we wouldn't find offense with that, we wouldn't expect somebody to abuse things in the house of God either, right? We wouldn't expect people to just have a flippant attitude towards the property of God, right? So what you have, some things that are affecting the local church today, and was back there in the Lord's time where they was, ooh, look at this place we have, and even that prevails today. Look at everything. And people just, they just freak out over everything. But then the other thing is that we don't have the right attitude towards the local place either. We don't have the right attitude towards that place. I believe in the Word of God, something that has always been a principle in the Word of God is that the place of God has always been a special place. A special place. It's a place that's supposed to garner our respect. And it's a place that should not be neglected of our efforts to do our best to make it look the best. That should be a place of respect. Our children should understand that that place we know is not a romper room. It is not a Chick-fil-A McDonald's playhouse. Amen. It's a distinctly different place. There is a place where you can jump around and act like a wild boy or a wild girl. And that would be in the living room of your house. Right? Right, you wouldn't have any problem with that, right? Don't give the preacher a hard time, right? You understand what I'm saying. You're simply letting the kids know there's a place that is different than other places. You say, well, I want them to want to come to church. I understand that. And we want them to come to church. But it's a place to be treated differently. And they're to grow up. Listen, there's establishments today within our land that garners different respect. And you go to that one place and you may dress a certain way and act a certain way. You may go to another place and it'd be all distinctly different. The house of God, the local place, should have the right attention given to it as well. There should be consideration given to this place. Again, I submit to you that it should be respected. Everything about it should be respected. Many of you have grown up from different church backgrounds, but I tell you, years ago, it was considered that that place was different than every other place, and we're going to church today, and the way you acted, the way you conduct yourself, was completely different in that place. It was supposed to be a place that was set aside, and I may talk about this more next week, and if you pray hard enough, I won't talk more about it next week. But it's sad that we dress better for ball games 50, 60 years ago than we do today for church. We'll just leave it at that real quick. I'm just trying to tell you that it was a place. You ever look at those black and white pictures of ball games? You ever look at some of them? Look at it in an old encyclopedia. Look at it. Just check me out sometime. And they dress better than we do in church today. They had more respect for a ball game than a local church. Should we have changed? Should we have deviated from that? No, I believe the mindset should have been, hey, that's church. It's a special place. You know what? They had, if you ever watch any Andy Griffith shows of old, they dressed better for dinner than we do for church. If they invited you over for dinner, they would dress better. Tell you the truth. That was in the late 60s. Are you okay? Are we okay? That's what they used to do. That's how I was brought up, and it wasn't the right church, it was the wrong church. I was brought up that way, and we know you always had your Sunday best. And Lord willing, we'll talk more about that next week. I see the smiles as I gaze upon the assembly. It should be a place that is respected. It's a place that should not be neglected. It should not be neglected. Look at Haggai. Haggai. The prophet Haggai. So you have one side. I used to have it in my Bible. But somebody took it out. It's in the Old Testament, right? There it is. Thank you. Haggai chapter 1. Haggai chapter 1. Real quickly, again, there's an overemphasis, but then there's an underemphasis, and it's hurting the local church today. Look at the beginning of verse 1. In the second year of Darius the king, in the sixth month, in the first day of the month, came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet unto Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua the son of Josedech, the high priest, saying, thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, this people say, the time is not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, and I understand, please, real quickly, I understand this is a little bit different. I understand the building. I understand what they're doing here. But there is a principle here. There's a mindset here concerning the attitude of the people. He said here in verse 3, then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, and this house lie waste? Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Ye have sown much and bring in little. Ye eat, but ye have not enough. Ye drink, but ye are not filled with drink. Ye clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put into a bag with holes. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Go up to the mountain and bring wood and build the house. And I will take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified, saith the Lord. He said, you go get some wood, you go get some wood, you go do something about this thing, you fix this problem, you bring it on up. And he says, I'll have pleasure in that thing, and I'll be glorified in that thing. So at the same time, you cannot focus on it, but you can't underemphasize it either. It does please God. And it pleased God when they put that thing together. It glorified the Lord that they put just a building? Yes. It glorified the Lord. Listen, house of God, we should do everything we can to make it look its best. What God has given us, has given the people of God, we should do everything we can to make it look its best, everything we can in that matter. Say, well, preachers, not everybody has a building. Not everybody has it. Do you understand that in the local assemblies in these far regions of the world, they'll build a grass hut, if you will, but they'll do everything they can to make that thing look its best? They'll actually have a broom and sweep that dirt? You know that? It's on dirt, but they'll sweep the dirt. They'll do what they can with what they have. You say, can they gather together without four walls? Yes, they can gather together without four walls. But as soon as they can, they will do their best to establish a place where they can meet. And they will put that up. They may put it up with just some twigs and some branches. They'll do whatever they can, however they make that thing, and they'll build that thing, and they'll make that thing look as nice as they can. That's what they'll do. Would it be as nice as another place maybe in America? No. But it would be the best they can make it look, should so be the same in America. Best we can make it look. Not at the expense of compromising a bunch of things, not at the expense of not being able to do other things, not at the expense of having a debt over your head where you've got to compromise the Word of God, but what you have and what God's given you should be treated with respect and shouldn't be neglected. And it shouldn't be neglected. There's some things that have hurt the local church today. It's not a movie theater. Amen? It's not. Now, you know, you say, well, this is making it easier for people to listen to the Word of God. I understand. I just think when you take away from the emphasis of that place and the importance of that place, you tend to make it like any other place. It's not Starbucks. It shouldn't be treated like Starbucks. Amen? So, well, if we just had coffee and other things, we could receive the Word of God better. I can't say I've submitted to that yet. And I don't think I ever will submit to that. It's just a different place. It's a different place, and I believe it's been distinctly different from Old Testament times, distinctly different. The things that they were allowed to bring into that place, the things that were supposed to be kept out of that place, so too is, I think, the local church is supposed to be today. Some things that were never intended to be in a local church. Let me see if I can... Some things the local church was never intended to be. I'll try to go through these, and we'll come to a stopping point. It was never intended to be an entertainment industry. Never intended. The local body. We're just talking about the place today. This was never intended to be a entertainment industry. Again, some people come in today, and because our local church has changed the way it's supposed to be, they think we're going to get entertained. And then they sit there and they're like, I didn't get nothing out of that. Because you came to be entertained. It's not intended to compete with the world to keep your attention. Because we're simply not going to be able to compete with the world. It's not meant to be a performance or a production. It's not lights, cameras, action. It's not meant to be that way. It never was. You'll not find that. 1 Timothy 3:14-15, it's the pillar and ground of the truth. Pillar and ground. It's not a Hollywood production. Never supposed to compete with that at all. It's never intended to be a business. We don't take business practices to build a local church. Local church is built by faith. And faith is completely different than business. And what we've done to our local churches today is try to take those business practices and bring them into the local church. That's never intended to be. Never was intended to be that way. It's never intended to be a worldly social club. A worldly social club. It's not the Moose Lodge. It's not the Elks Club. It's not a bingo parlor. Amen. It's not a worldly social club. It is certainly a place where we do and where we should socialize, but it's to be distinctly different than the world. Distinctly different. This is a place where we should come. It's a haven of rest and where we don't hear the same things that we heard outside of these doors. Thankfully, you can come into this place and spend time in this place today and throughout the day and never hear the language that you've heard outside these doors. And never hear the jokes and the attitudes and the things that you hear outside these doors. It's supposed to be completely different. Completely different. It's not a worldly social club. A place where the world is kept out and not brought in. It's never intended to be a politically correct place. It's a place, it's not intended to be a place that continues to change with the times. If anything, the church is supposed to be a place that opposes the change of the times with respect to the Word of God. It may have some things about it that are modernized, but it should never turn into modernism. The technology may be good, and we have a speaker that we're using today, but none of these things should detract or take away from the truth of God's Word. And as we've said before, we should not become so electronic that we've taken the Bible out of the hands of the people, that we've taken the hymnals out of the hands of the people. We should never get to that point or get that way. There may be some things that are beneficial and helpful, but we're not to be a politically correct place. We know over there in 1 Timothy, he talks about a time will come when they're not endorse sound doctrine. but we need to continue to support sound doctrine and give a push back to anything that comes against that. Modernism is something that has crept into our churches, our local churches, and modernism is something that's completely against the local church. Vance Havner, preacher of a long time ago, made this comment regarding modernism that I thought would be interesting to read this morning. Modernism has no message, for it denies the only hope of the world, a supernatural Bible and a supernatural Christ. It is rooted in evolution and therefore rotten at the source. It denies the depravity of the human heart and the need of a blood-bought redemption. It laughs at the slaughterhouse theology and eliminates the blood songs from hymnals. It takes the precious name of Lord Emmanuel and removes the E-M from the beginning and the U-E-L from the ending, leaving only man. It gives to the congregation a set of blocks and lets the people spell God the best they can. It calls weakness what God calls wickedness, recommends culture instead of Calvary, and polish instead of pardon. It has tried to revise the Bible, streamline the gospel, remodel heaven, explain away the devil, and air-condition hell. It has no hallelujah. It never produces a revival. It never saved a soul. It never convicted a sinner. It never changed a dope fiend into a Christian. It never took away drunkard's love for booze or loosed a libertine from the shackles of lust. It is a form without force, a religion without redemption. It defies the book, denies the blood, and derides the blessed hope. Modernism, we need to stay away from. We don't need to be a politically correct place. The church was never intended to be a substitute for the home. Never intended to be a substitute for the home. The preacher, the church cannot do for you and your family, and the time that you spend in church, what needs to be done for you and your family. It's meant to be a complement and support what you are already doing at the home and help to make that place an even better place and you an even better person. That's what it's meant to do. Too many people are relying on this and this alone to fix all the problems that they have. And this alone cannot do it. You need to take what you get from the local church, from the truth of the Word of God, and make application in your life. It's never intended to replace your personal walk with God. It's intended to complement it. Let me say this real quickly. I do not believe that church was ever intended to be replaced by TV, DVDs, or MP3s, or any other electronic means of getting programs or preaching or church messages. These things have their value, but should not be a replacement for the church. Some folks are staying home and they say, well, I just love watching Charles Stanley. Well, I just love watching Dr. David Jeremiah. I just love and I think that's where I need to be. That's not that's not the Bible. The Bible says it's supposed to be a gathering. It's supposed to be an assembly of believers gathered together. Not you sitting in your house watching something on TV. Not you having your stack of DVDs where you pop them in anytime and get what you want. Not you at any time, if you will, substitute a local church for a bunch of good preaching. No. You got your stack of MP3s and you'll say, well, what do I want to listen to today? I think that'll appeal to me and you'll pick what you want to listen to today. And that's not necessarily what God wants you to listen to today. You're supposed to gather together in a local body of believers. Not forsaking the assembling together of ourselves together. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together the manner of some is. But exhorting one another and so much the more as you see a day approaching. Hebrews 10:25. You're supposed to get together with other like-minded believers. You're supposed to be doing that in a place. This place was never intended to be substituted by TV, preachers, DVDs, or MP3s. I don't care if it's James Knox or some other preacher. Never, ever, ever was intended to be that. God would have you meet in a local assembly. Again, this church is not enough. It's not enough. This place alone is not enough. And it will not give you all that you completely need. You have to take what you hear in this local place and make application if you're going to be better off yourself. Too many people are coming to church, but they're no better off because we're not making application to the Word of God. And we'll talk more about that next week. May I say to you real quickly, this place is not really a place where you necessarily, by coming to this place, are you necessarily serving God? Some folks say, well, I serve God because I came to church. There may be some truth to that, and I don't want to cut this thing too thin, but it's a place where you learn to serve God and a place where you learn to serve others. That's what it really truly is. By you coming here. See, we've come out. We're really not doing anything today. I mean, I know we've taken time out. We got dressed. We left church. Some of you drove quite a distance, and you got here, but you're sitting, and if you will, you're learning from the Word of God how you're to be serving. Serving. Say, preacher, why do you emphasize that? Because people think, now I serve God with the church. No, you learn to serve God by going to church. That's the truth. See, we need to serve more than just sitting in the pew. That's what we need to do. We think, I serve because I went to church 3 times this week. Not necessarily. Not necessarily. Real quickly. This place, may I say real quickly in closing. This place is not that place. This local place is not that local place. Why do you say that, preacher? Because this local assembly is made up of a certain body of people that is different than another assembly that is made up of a local body of believers. Each church has its own personality. And with it, each church has its own problems. But you cannot compare one church to another church. You have to be extremely, extremely careful with that. Something that you need to keep in mind, or else you're going to be disgruntled, is not understanding that that place is a distinctly different place than this place. This place has certain strengths and certain weaknesses. It may have more weaknesses than other churches in certain areas. It may have more strength than other churches in certain other areas. And it has to work within that local assembly. You say, well, they do all these things at that church there. They do this. Yeah, but that place is not this place. We can't necessarily do what that place does. We may not have the number of people that they have. We may not have the strength and leadership that they have. Is everything they're doing wrong? Not necessarily. But you cannot try to make your church that church. And if you try to, listen, this church, you need to be part of the church that God would have you to be, and then do all you can to make that church a better church. You go to some church, and you look at that church, and you say, man, sometimes you go, and you'll go away, you'll go, hey, man, hey, that is quite a church there. I wish we were more like that. Yeah, they may have been there for 20 years. They may have been there for 30 years. There may be a lot of things that came together to establish that church and make it what it ought to be. And it just is different. And you're going to have to be careful. You're going to have to be careful with that and trying to make a personality of another church a personality of your church, because it can't be. It can't be. Now, I say also, with our ability to listen to all different preaching today, you have to be careful with that. This is the point I'm trying to emphasize today, brethren. Our local church is being hurt in some ways because of the electronic media. You say, how? We have the opportunity to get more preaching than we've ever gotten. How could that hurt the local church? Well, because the local church used to be so strong because that used to be their local church. And those people used to believe, that's my church. But now our hearts have been pulled away in this direction and in this direction, and our hearts are not as strong as they once used to be for the local church. And in some manner, in some ways, it actually affects our heart. You listen to this preacher, again, it's what you're picking to preach. I want to listen to this message. I want to listen to this message. But you listen to it, and it's good. Nothing against that. Nothing against good preaching. But if you go back a little bit, what we had was our local church. What we had was, we said, that's my pastor. That's my brethren. That's my church. And we love that local church. And our hearts weren't pulled away like they are today. We are so non-committal today. We're so easily pulled away. We don't think about a commitment to a local assembly of believers because so many voices are pulling us here and this is going on over here, and we get disgruntled about our place here. That's a danger of a local church. That's a danger. Now, you know, I believe wholeheartedly, if at the center of that church, the truth is not the center of that church, you need to find you another church in a heartbeat. If that church is focusing on the music, and it's focusing on other things, and it's not focusing on the Word of God, then you definitely need to find another church. If that church is correcting the Word of God, if that church is full of opinions and everything, you need to find another church. If that church is changing with the times and becoming more politically correct, you need to find another church. But I hope you understand this morning that we need to find a local church and get in that place and get behind that place and get committed to that place. We need to do that. I'm telling you something this morning. It's a hard thing to change in today because of where we have access to. It's hard to build a local church. But I'm speaking of that place today. That place is an important place, and that place ought to be everything you give yourself to. And you ought to love those brethren. You ought to love that family right there as much as you can love them. And pray for them. And not look, oh, they're so much better over there. They're so much better over there. There's some things to consider about the place. Lastly, I'm just telling you this morning, it's not some magical place where you just pass a wand and everything's good. I'm telling you, it's going to take your effort in that place. And we'll talk more about that. People's responsibility next week. But it's not something where everybody go home and smile. Everything's better. We've emphasized today the place. The place is a very, very, very important place. And what a blessing it used to be years ago where people used to bring their next generation up in that church and the next generation up in that church, and they just loved being part of that church. They loved being part of that church. Listen, a brief stay at a church doesn't necessarily tell you about a church. Doesn't necessarily tell you about a church. See, man, they got everything going on there. You don't know the problems they have going on there. You don't know. You get in that place and it'd be the same as here. Just a different group of people trying to work together. Got the same issues going on. Same issues going on. All right, folks. The place is very important. Very, very important place. Things that are hurting it. Things were never intended to be for the local church. But that local church is an important place. Let's go ahead and stand. You need to get in a local church. It's a place that God would have His people to be. Support that the best you can. Next week we're going to talk about some things with respect to the preacher and the people. Garden local church. A lot of things the Bible has to say about that. Appreciate you listening this morning. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the time. I pray that you'd emphasize things in a way that I couldn't. I wholly believe these truths this morning myself, of course, to be so. And Lord, it's a different time in 2013, but I pray that our hearts could be directed in a manner that we would consider the local assembly a very, very important place. And I believe by your word, you have placed tremendous emphasis upon it. And I believe it ought to be a great influence in our lives and as well as the community itself. Please bless what we heard today. I do pray to be with us now as we go our separate ways and be with us this afternoon and things we're trying to get done there and then for services tonight. We ask your help in Jesus' name. Amen.